the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning to you. Boker Tov. We South Africans, of course, are reeling from the news yesterday. Israel, I would imagine, the same.
Absolutely. Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Not a good way to start the week, unfortunately. Israel, unfortunately, has to deal with terror attacks constantly. We spoke last week about the attack that was carried out audaciously on border police patrolling the Old City of Jerusalem. We had no idea that that could be a precursor to the bloody and tragic events that took place yesterday in the Old City of Jerusalem. And as we mentioned last week when we spoke about the attack on those two border policemen, we spoke about the alleyways in Jerusalem. We spoke about how difficult it really is to maintain a certain level of security and how brave those border police patrols are when they go out through the city of Jerusalem trying to keep a semblance of peace and security for all of those who wish to pass through the alleyways. The person who apparently used a Beretta machine gun to carry out this murder yesterday was apparently somebody who was quite well known in the Old City of Jerusalem and on the Temple Mount, someone who apparently would pass through on a daily basis to go to the Temple Mount to pray, somebody who apparently taught religious studies at their home, and according to the police, when they raided the home of the perpetrator yesterday, just for information purposes, there was a massive immediate reaction to the terror attack that was carried out near to the chain gate that leads up to the Temple Mount in the Old City of Jerusalem. And the border police who were in the area, as well as other civilians, very, very quickly came to the help of those people who'd been attacked, immediately shot at the perpetrator of this particular attack. That person was killed also at the site, but unfortunately it wasn't enough to save the life of Eli Kay, who is a real Zionist, someone who came to Israel on his own to serve in the paratroopers unit, was refused initially when he applied to join the paratroopers, was very, very determined to do so. He did so with great distinction. He has been described as someone who was very committed to the work that he did in the army. He, of course, also studied at a yeshiva. And since leaving the army, he's actually been a tour guide in the Old City of Jerusalem, employed by the Western Wall Foundation. And for those people who have done tours of the Kotel area of the Western Wall, either the tunnels or the area surrounding the Western Wall, will know how amazingly intelligent and well informed those people are about the history of that location, how much they've got to study the religious aspects, the historical aspects from all religious areas in order to make a good tour guide of that location. And that was the job that Eli was doing and the job that he was going to do yesterday when he was gunned down in cold blood in the streets of the Old City of Jerusalem. One would say that perhaps where he died was the place that he loved, being in the heart of Judaism, in the heart of what was really the central part of the Jewish world, right in the Old City of Jerusalem, near to the Western Wall area. It doesn't get much closer to the heart, the beating heart of Judaism. And of course, Am Yisrael Chai, in spite of this tragic incident, my condolences go to the family, to the friends, to all those who knew Eli Kay. And his memory will be for a blessing, because there are just so many good things that people have to say about him. And we will try to do whatever we can getting over this particular difficult period in order to make something positive out of the life that Eli Kay led, and about the and the way in which he inspired so many people in a quiet way without really making a huge fuss about things. But of course, it was Prime Minister Naftali Bennett who announced the news to the cabinet at the start of their meeting yesterday. By that time, unfortunately, Eli Kay had already been pronounced dead at the hospital where he was taken in Jerusalem. And it was the Prime Minister who announced that to the cabinet. And of course, it then precipitated a whole series of investigations and security checks and arrests members of the family. The security police have already raided the house of the perpetrator. It seems as if though this was an attack that was planned well in advance. We understand that the perpetrator's wife had actually left the country in the days before the attack took place, and that a lot of cleaning up and tidying up had been done at home to make sure that there was very little evidence that could be gained by a raid on the home, as was the kind of a raid that took place yesterday after the attack. So it's very, very difficult to talk about this. Unfortunately, Israel is a country that is built on the blood of heroes like Eli Kay, people who have come here with great commitment, with great enthusiasm, with great Zionism to play their part to build our country and to build our society. So many of them, unfortunately, have had to sacrifice their lives. We always will remember and respect them. We have a day in the year when we fall silent to remember those who have given their lives in the building of our country. And when we look at the beating heart of Israel every day, we can only be grateful to people like that who have allowed the rest of us to have such a great privilege and honor to live in this country that we do.
Anthony, is there to some extent a failure on Israel's security here, given the nature of this attack and how well planned it was? It's not the same as somebody waking up in a bad mood taking the kitchen knife. This does seem to be a very well orchestrated and planned attack.
It does, and it doesn't matter whether it has been orchestrated or not. It doesn't matter whether it's just a spur of the moment thing or not. Any incident like this has to be considered as a failure on the part of the security forces, because the security forces operate at a number of different levels. First of all, I think what you're alluding to, Howard, is the intelligence side. Should this person have been on the intelligence radar? Should the security police have known about him before he perpetrated the attack? And, you know, when one looks at the circumstances surrounding everything that happened and what the security police have discovered in the hours following that attack, I think it would be very, very easy to say, absolutely, this is someone who should have been on the radar. He should have been an intelligence target. And then what happens next? Because this is when we get into the very, very difficult area, because as soon as somebody gets onto the radar of intelligence, then we start getting into the realms of, why are the security police hounding this person? What rights do the security police have to investigate them, to keep them on the radar, to keep trailing them, to investigate their family links? What right do the security police have to do all of those things to somebody who is innocent until proven guilty? And that's when the whole human rights aspect comes into things. That's when we get into the realm of international condemnation for searching some people at Ben Gurion Airport a little bit more than searching other people. Why are certain people singled out to be strip searched, as opposed to other people who are just let through without the need to be strip searched? What right do the security police have to do that? So there we get into a whole different realm of things. But I think your initial instinct is that this person probably should have been on the intelligence radar. Maybe they were on the intelligence radar, but the intelligence, because of these strong issues that they're having to face on a daily basis, war crimes, claims, call them what you want, they have to manage their activities very cautiously indeed in order not to draw unwarranted attention, to be accused of undertaking activities, security related activities, that can't be justified, because this is a regular person who comes to pray at the Temple Mount every day, who teaches religious studies at his home, almost like what we would think about as a bar mitzvah teacher type of a person. Why would they need to go through the whole gamut of security checks and perhaps make their lives more difficult, their moving, you know, their ability to move around more difficult, when nothing has been done or said or no crimes have been committed until the moment that it happens, and then it's too late? So, you know, that's unfortunately the dilemma that we face in trying to manage a high security situation. And, you know, let's also think about the amazingly successful work that our security forces undertake, where they do manage to prevent attacks like this from taking place. Unfortunately, the credit that they get is very much reduced, or perhaps not even nearly enough to justify the amount of work that they do, because we never really know what the alternative would have been. In other words, if those people who'd been arrested or whatever work the security forces had done to supposedly prevent an attack, I mean, that is an attack that the security forces considered to have been prevented. But was it objectively going to be something which would have endangered people's lives, and therefore was the work that the security forces did actually justified in the extent to which it was carried out? These are all difficult questions that we have to confront on a daily basis within the security situation that we find ourselves.
Absolutely. And the funeral taking place this morning at 11 a.m. We're trying to find out if it is going to be live streamed so that we can share that with everyone. Israeli President Isaac Herzog is in London today. That's on an official visit to the UK. What's his agenda?
Well, President Herzog will today be meeting Prince Charles. And he, amongst other people, he flew yesterday to the UK. His program includes not only a meeting with Prince Charles later today, but apparently tomorrow he will also meet with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. He has a meeting later today with the British Foreign Secretary and other parliamentarians, and of course Jewish community leaders. He will be attending a memorial as well to the memory of rape Rabbi Sacks. And so he is undertaking what I would consider to be a mix of diplomatic and communal activities, which I think is the way that Jewish communities around the world like it, when an Israeli politician, an Israeli government official, and in this particular situation, an Israeli president visits the UK. Of course, the Herzog family have a long established link not only with Ireland, but indeed with the UK as well. The family emanated from that part of the world. And so this would not be a strange thing for President Bujir Herzog to undertake. He's being accompanied by his wife, Michal. They also yesterday attended an event which memorialized Jewish Olympians who were murdered by Nazi Germany. And he will do this kind of mix of diplomatic as well as communal activities. I think the main item on his agenda, particularly for his meetings with government officials, will be Iran. Even though he doesn't present or represent at this stage a certain political view, we know, of course, that he is a former leader of Israel's Labour Party, so his politics are fairly well known and well understood to most people. But at the moment, he doesn't present or represent a political view, but he rather represents the government of Israel, which at this stage happens not to be a particularly left-wing government. But although there's, of course, a mix of people within the coalition who would be very, very, you know, find his views to be the ones that they would follow as well. So at the moment, he's going to talk about the risk that Iran presents to Israel, and he's going to try to encourage the UK government to do what they need to do in order to help to somehow weaken the Iranian situation. And of course, he will also be talking about Hamas as a terror organization. And unfortunately, it comes with blood on the hands of Hamas, who, as you mentioned earlier, were celebrating after that murder yesterday.
Beyond words. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, it is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, hopefully with better news. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. Good morning.